If you would please stand for the reading of the word. We're going to go to Exodus 3. I'm going to read 1 through 6. When you're there, please say amen. Your page is turning, phone's clicking. The word of God says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground.
Yes.
Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I'm going to preach tonight. And when God saw. And when God saw. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house. Once again, we had a wonderful time of worship. We lifted you up, Lord. We glorified you with our holy hands. We glorified you with our lips of clay. We're thankful, God, that you're here in our midst. We're thankful, God, that you give us the word of truth. I'm praying, Lord, tonight that you have your way in every aspect of this service. God, I'm setting myself aside and humbling myself that my voice would be used as a vessel unto the Lord God Almighty. I'm humbled the fact that you would actually use me, Lord God. For as Paul said, I'm the least of these. Lord God, I feel that at this very moment, that God, that you would use me to present your gospel. I'm thankful, God, that you thought of me, that you brought me here, and God, you brought me here with a word that comes directly from heaven.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that tonight.
Thank
in
you.
Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
Amen.
Let me see you. Preacher friend of mine one time said, he said, the first time I preached, I believe it was 17 minutes. I didn't count the seconds, but it was short. He said, you'll be popular. And I said, well, he's optimistic. I don't plan on preaching a long time tonight, but what I do, there's one caveat to that, the Holy Ghost. Whatever he's going to do, let him do it tonight. So my plan is that, because we're heading to an altar. That's the purpose. That's what God said. I'm getting out of the way. Let him have his way. One encounter with God can change it all. How many can you agree with that?
Amen.
One encounter. I remember one time in my life when one of those encounters changed it all for me. One time, I believe, Melissa and I was married for about, a year, I believe. It seems like so long ago. And I guess it was several years ago. It was probably at least 7. And I remember one Saturday, I was working at the restaurant there in Russellville, and I had this horrible pain in my body. Couldn't understand it, didn't know what was going on. I barely was able to drive home. And for me to leave work, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. I left work. When I got home, I laid there, and Melissa said, well, you want me to take you out? Let's take me to one of those healthcare express places or whatever they are. I'm not going to a hospital or emergency room, none of that. I'm not going to do that. But it was bad enough I couldn't drive. And that's saying a lot, too. I like to drive, and that's just the way I am. So she drove me down to this place. I go in, they check me in, and I'm just kind of there. And I believe I almost fell out of the chair, if I'm not mistaken. I was kind of out of it. I was in so much pain. I don't even remember what they called it. My heart rate dropped to like 40. And I was about to go out. I was in a huge amount of pain, and I found out later what it was is my heart rate is that there was so much pain in my body, excruciating, that I didn't know what was going on. That's what the cause was. They said, you need to leave now. We're calling an ambulance. Something's going on. They thought I was dying. I said, no, you're not. You're not calling an ambulance for me. I said, "Hun, you can take me to the hospital. We're not going to St. Murders. We're going to go ahead and go to the other hospital. St. Murders is St. Mary's in Russellville. You don't want to go there." Anyway, so about 25 minutes away is Clarksville. We went there. So they rolled me out, and I remember the sun hit me, and they rolled me out, and they stopped the wheelchair. They said, "Okay, you can get out now. They're done with me. They don't want me. They don't want me there. They don't want to be anything to do with me. If I'm going to die, they want it off of their property." I felt real loved right then. I was thinking, well, I'm in a lot of pain, but my wife's with me. She's probably thinking, "Oh, my husband, I just got married. God, you gave me this promise. I'm married. Now he's going to die? What's up with that?" That's what I felt like. So we go to the hospital, and I remember they get me on this gurney. They put me in, and we're sitting in this cold room in the emergency room there, and she's over there, and she's putting the text together about prayer. Prayer chains going everywhere. And I'm sitting there and I'm praying, I'm laying, I'm hurting a lot. Don't understand it. Never had this happen before. Don't know where it came from. Don't know what's going on. Which that brings a lot to you in this at the same time, right? You're confused, you don't know what to do. You just pray. "God, I don't even know what to pray for. I'm just praying. God, touch me, heal me." I'm thinking, I cannot leave my promise. So I held on that promise. Said, "God," said, "you're going to be a couple's ministry. I ain't going to die." So I had faith that built in me that day. So I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, my eyes closed, and God moved in that room. He walked in that room, and I said, "Melissa, did you feel that? He's here." My eyes were full of tears, and it was moving, and the Spirit of God was in that room. It's just two, now three, was there. God moved.
Yeah.
I like to tell you, I was healed right then, but it wasn't. I got you, dinner. Here's what happened. So everything went out. They did all the testing and all that kind of stuff and so on. The next day, Sunday, I missed church. Same a lot too. I wasn't going to miss church. But I was in so much pain, I couldn't understand why I'm in pain. I tried to get up. I tried to get ready. I was going to go to church, and I just couldn't. I hurt. It was a pain. I didn't have any energy. Didn't know what was going on with my body. I wasn't that old. You ever said that? It's not time.
Yeah.
So here we go. Back to the hospital. Back to the text. Back to the prayer chain. Get there. They said, "We're going to take an MRI. We're going to do all these things. We're going to check you and so forth. We're going to probe, touch, take blood, whatever. All this stuff. You know, normal thing." So I'm sitting there. And I'm laying there praying. Melissa's right beside me. We're in this little room. Fixed to go in this box. And instantly, just like that, I was healed. Instantly, without question, thing. Laying there in that bed, I got up out of that bed, and all of a sudden, every bit of the sickness was out of my body instantly. Why I know? Because I got out of the bed, and my silhouette was still there. Of sweat. Instantly, the sickness left my body. Never knew what it was, but I felt like I was dying. My heart was felt like it was going to explode. I didn't know what was going on. I felt more pain than I'd ever felt before. I thought I was dying. But God stepped in. I don't know why he didn't heal me the first day, but the second day, I was laying there, and instantly, God healed me.
Thank you, Lord.
I got up, and I said, "We're done here." And we left. The doctor's sitting there thinking. I said, "I'm healed. I'm done. You can look all you want to right there. You can check that sweat if you want to." I thought, it doesn't matter to me. I'm healed and never had another problem with that. And that's been at least 7 years ago.
Thank you, Lord.
We turned to God. And when Jesus came into the hospital room, I didn't need a doctor. I needed Jesus. When Jesus walked into the room, that changed everything. It wasn't when the doctor came in and said, "Hey, we're going to do all these tests." Well, you're practicing medicine, but he is the healer. So I'm going to go ahead and go with what he says. And when he did, he completes the work that he started.
Yes.
What he started on Saturday, he completed on Sunday. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Because anytime you turn to God, he will be faithful to turn to you. Mm-hmm. I want to preach to you for a while tonight when God saw. First, the burning bush and God's calling how important is God's calling to you? How important is it to hear God's calling? Moses was the prince of Egypt and had all access to the kingdom. The responsibility of being a prince in the most powerful kingdom in the known world. He saw firsthand the conquering of other nations. He was taught by the most intelligent teachers of the day, and he was multicultural. He had at his fingertips anything and everything he desired. The pride and power that was his, combined with respect from all the people, must have been overwhelming. Power. Power. Some people say you get drunk with power. I think we got that going on in our country right now, don't you?
I do.
After slaying an Egyptian, he fled from the face of Pharaoh and went undercover to a place called Midian. One of the meanings of the name Midian is a covering. This is where Moses found himself, and things had drastically changed. He was suddenly on his own, struggling, taking life one day at a time. When he arrived at his covering, he sat down by a well. There at the well, he met Zipporah and her sisters. Zipporah and Moses married, and Moses was, I'm sure, content that he had a life once again, that all was fine, and that he had a future. Been there?
Yeah.
We always like to know there's a future.
Right.
We always like to know that it's going somewhere. For 40 years, Moses watched the herd of his father-in-law. He was so humble that he didn't even own his own flock. For 40 years, he never said that, hey, father-in-law, I'm going to give you some of your own flock. No, it was his father-in-law's flock. He was so humble that he was just a sheep herder for his father-in-law. He didn't own anything. It was just him.
Right.
But the call on God was coming. One day, like any other day, he had spent watching the herd. He had the opportunity to meet God. Sometimes people don't recognize the calling of God because it didn't happen at a young age in their life. They think because they have lived a long time that God couldn't possibly call them now. Well, let me share with you. For 29 years, I operated multi-unit restaurants. I stand before you today as a pastor at an older age. So don't tell me that he can't call you when you don't think he can call you. It's up to you to hear it.
Right.
If you're listening, he's always talking.
Right.
If you want to hear God's calling, you just need to give him an ear. Because he's going to speak. If you're seeking him, he is always faithful to speak to you. You may not like what you hear, because I didn't. God, here's my words. I think our communication's broken again. I married a preacher. You've heard my wife preach. She can preach.
Yes, sir.
And I said, isn't one enough? God said, I called you. Just because you wasn't listening doesn't mean I didn't call you. Just because you decided what you were going to do and what you wasn't going to do. We're going to go back to what I said this morning. It said, you said that you would be a living sacrifice unto me. Isn't that what you said? Does God come back and tell you these kind of things to you too?
Remind you.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of times.
Yeah.
And I shut up. I shut up and let him speak because I really don't have anything to say. After God speaks, all I need to do is repeat. Push repeat, Lord, because I need to hear from you.
Yes, sir.
So, over the last 4 years, 2018, I walked away from everything I'd known, took my family of three, now five, because the blessings of the Lord are abundant. Amen. And I went to Texarkana because that's where God called us at the moment. He said, my official title is executive pastor. Yes, I take care of the business. That's what I do. But he says, this means to an end. I called you to be a pastor. I'm thinking to myself, God, you heard me preach. That's when I realized over a 4-year period how little the preaching had to do with pastoring. Hello? Because I was one of the ones that thought, pastoring, well, all you got to do is preach 3 times a week. How hard is that? That was me several years ago. I apologize, I repented, and I moved on. I was wrong. Very, very wrong, as I work 7 days a week now. So the thing is that pastoring is so much more, and that's what God called me to do. So the calling of Moses came after a long period of time, 40 years. But God was at work in his life all along.
Yes, sir.
On that normal day in Moses' life, he was saw a burning bush on the backside of the desert. Moses could have said, hey, there's a burning bush. I've seen those. Let's move on.
That's cool.
Maybe that's what you said. Hey, there's church again. I've seen this before. Hello, I grew up in church.
Yeah.
I know all that church lingo and good stuff.
Yeah.
I can get myself through. Anybody?
Come on.
I'm preaching real good about right now.
Good preaching. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Preaching.
Church lingo? We got that down. We got the Pentecostal lingo going on, don't we? A lot of times, we like to just get real comfortable with that because we want to sound anointed. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, glory.
Here's the problem. I heard a sermon just the other day, and it said that the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of it is speaking in tongues. If you haven't spoken tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. So we know that's a fact. But the problem is, in so many times of us Pentecostals, we stop right there. You stop right there.
Yes, sir.
There's a whole lot more than speaking in tongues. That's just evidence.
Right. Good.
There should be, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you should be able to go out and witness to the people by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That is the purpose. The evidence, so many times in a Pentecostal church, is where we like to stop at. Oh, if you speak in tongues, well, that's all right. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story about me when I first got filled with the Holy Ghost many years ago. I remember the first time I was seeking the Holy Ghost, about 2 months. I was like, I even got the little books, and I read them. It's like, okay, like this is going to help. God's thinking, I'm up there praying in my little closet, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God hit me. Boom! I had one word. That was it. And all of a sudden, my mind took over. You been there? Anybody? Anybody else?
Yeah, come on.
So I'm so disappointed that my analytical mind took over my thought process, and I said, the Spirit of God's moving in this place, and all of a sudden, in my room, by myself, in my prayer closet, I'm sitting here, and I'm praying for the Holy Ghost. I've been seeking the Holy Ghost for 2 months, and that's what my mind is set on. I'm set on, I'm going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's my purpose. If I want to do anything in the power of God, it's going to be through the Holy Ghost. He said it's expedient, but that I must go, that I can send the Comforter.
Right. Yes.
Well, also, he's the teacher.
Yeah.
He's going to teach you all things and all truths. Who's going to come through? Holy Ghost. How much more, as we say, when we look at that sign that says it's Pentecostal, I better be Pentecostal.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Pentecostal. Well, I took my one word back to church. I talked to one of the deacons at the time. At the time, I wasn't a deacon. I was probably, I'd only been in that church about 3 months. About 3 months, and I was praying. I'd saved already before that, but I was seeking the Holy Ghost. He said, when the Spirit comes on, you use your one word. And I was like, so God come across me in that altar, and I spoke because the Spirit of God came upon me. I felt the Spirit of God come on me, and that word came back, and I spoke it out. Then the river. Because I spoke it in faith. I'm not talking about a charismatic type of, I'm going to speak in tongues anytime I want to. I'm talking about the Spirit of God moving on me and moving through me. And whenever that word came, I spoke it in faith because He is the one that spoke through me. He didn't take my tongue out of my mouth. He didn't make me speak words that I can't say because He was using me. It's my part to say it. That's called obedience. Obedience to the Spirit. How much more important is it for us to be obedient? You've heard it many times, that being obedient is better than sacrifice. Well, I'm going to tell you this. If you're going to be obedient, you're going to sacrifice to be obedient. That's going to sacrifice time. That's going to sacrifice things. It's going to sacrifice whatever is in the way between you and God. Because if you're wanting to move closer to Him, you will sacrifice those things that do not belong.
Yes, sir.
So, after that, the river of living water flowed through me, and I had freedom in the Spirit. That's how I broke through. So if that helps you tonight, now you know where we're heading. After this, on that normal day in Moses' life, he saw a burning bush on the backside of the desert. Moses could have said, hey, that's just nothing going on, it's just another burning bush. Because I'm sure combustion in a hot desert, sometimes a bush may catch on fire. Yeah. But there was different about this bush is that it was not consumed.
Right. That's right.
It was not consumed. We say we've heard it all, but we have we? Or do we just give enough of our attention to God's word anymore, so it doesn't touch our heart the way it should?
Right. Come on. Good. That's good, brother. Good.
Let me tell you, I've been down that road when I've checked the boxes. I'm going to get up in the morning, and I'm going to read my word, I'm going to pray my minutes, and I'm going to go ahead and go about my way. I'm not going to worry about the word speaking to my heart. I'm not going to worry about me having divine appointments, like our brother said. I'm not going to worry about what it may feed me. I'm not worried because I got to check that box and get on moving. Because I got something to do. Got to get to work. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, get up earlier.
Yeah.
I had to. If you want God, it's going to take a sacrifice. If you want a change in your life, if you don't know where your life is going and you don't like where it's going, there's only one place to go. And that's to the one that can change it.
Yes, sir.
We have to position ourselves to hear. God still has a burning bush experience for His people today. Moses humbled himself to be a shepherd after being a prince. I'm sure he thought he failed Pharaoh and the God of his people. But God had a plan from the beginning.
Yes, He did.
In Egypt, Moses did not know God. He also did not know that one day, in his obedience, he would come face to face with God. Jehovah.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? Just by my obedience, one day, and you and I, we will see God face to face on the other side.
Yes, sir.
But God was there with Moses face to face. It's up to you to turn aside, see, and hear God calling. You will notice that God's first words to Moses was God calling him by his name. This shows that even though Moses was now just a forgotten shepherd on the backside of the desert, God knew who he was.
Yes, sir.
And where he was.
Amen. Where?
How about you? Do you think that God's forgotten you? No. Do you think God's not answering your prayers? Do you think God's just moving on by? He has a purpose.
Yes, he does.
For each and every one of us. He has a plan. God always makes a way where there seems to be no way. You may feel like you're walking in the backside of the desert, perhaps dry with no answers of what the future holds. No answer to prayers you have been praying. But one encounter with God changes everything.
Yes, it does.
If you will position yourself to see God, God will take notice. In seeing Him, looking to Him, and when God saw Moses turn aside to see this burning bush that was not consumed. When God saw, that's when God spoke.
Come on.
He didn't speak until Moses turned aside.
Right.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
So we as the people of God must turn aside to God. We have to position ourselves to hear. God still has a burning experience for each and every one of us. We know this. God didn't change His mind even when Moses had 11 complaints why He couldn't. Taking off His shoes is leaving the world behind. That's what God had him do. Take off thy shoes for where you are is holy ground. He had to take off the world, set the world aside, that He didn't need the world anymore because there's something better. The filth of the world In the Eastern countries, we always read in the Bible and others that you take off your shoes. But this instance, it's the filth, the world, that did not belong on the holy ground. When he turned aside, God spoke, called him by name, and said, "Take off thy shoes. Don't come hither until you take off your shoes." Till you take off the world, you can't be in a holy place. You can't be holy to God, be in his presence. How do I know? How do I hear? How do I see? Our questions like Moses had. Moses was there for 40 years before he was ready for God. Thank God he don't work that way today. I don't have to wait 40 years. Those 40 years in the desert seemed like a meaningless existence for a prince. But Moses was going through God's school of hard knocks that prepared him to be able to handle the responsibilities of leading people through a desert for the next 40 years. A stiff-necked, difficult, hard people. These people were seemingly spoiled when they got out of Egypt because of what they had in Egypt. The leeks, you remember the scriptures? What they were calling on after they had left? Even though they saw the miraculous, they saw the Red Sea, they saw God deliver them, but yet they complained. After he smote the rock and water came forth, after the serpents, on and on and on and on. All these things. But yet this hard, stiff-necked people. Moses looked at the burning bush and it was not consumed. But just seeing the bush wasn't the changing point. The changing point was when Moses turned aside to see this sight. Yeah. If the enemy can keep you from getting to the place of taking off your dirty shoes, leaving the worldly things and thoughts, he can keep you from hearing God's voice.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
If he can keep you here, if the enemy can keep you here, that you don't hear God's voice because he's got you so busy. He's got your mind busy. He's got you thinking about other things. He's got you thinking about sister so-and-so in her tight shoes. Why don't you give me that look for? I'm offended or whatever. He's got you thinking about everything else but what God's plan is. Why do you think Jesus prayed in the third watch so many times? Quiet. Quiet. He prayed often. It's so important for us to have time, quiet time with the Lord so we can seek his face, seek his will, to know what he would have us do. Moses is about to be told that he was on holy ground. That holy ground was not in Egypt. Moses had to take his shoes off. He had to remove his ability to walk through life and listen to the voice of God. You hear that? He had to take off his ability to walk through this world and listen to God to lead him forward in the purpose that he had for him. Holy ground represents the anointing of the Holy Ghost. When Moses saw the burning bush, but it was not consumed, he was captured by it. Miracles have a special way of getting our attention. A regular bush on fire, who cares? But a burning bush that doesn't burn up, now that is something. God's fire will consume you because he is an all-consuming fire. But the difference is it won't burn you. So if you're burnt out, you're being consumed by the Holy Ghost fire of God. You're not being consumed. Let me get that correct. If you're burnt out, then that's not the Holy Ghost's fire. It's being stirred in you. I've been burnt out. I know what it feels like to feel like you're busy. I'm so busy. I got so much to do. There's so much ministry going on. There's so many people in need. There's so many people calling. My phone rings 24/7, and I do mean that. It goes constantly. Always in need, because ministry is always going to be in need. Because that's part of ministry.
Right.
But if I don't keep that fire in me, if I don't keep it stirred in me, I'm going to get burned out because they're going to keep sucking it out.
Good, brother.
And I don't mean that against anybody.
Come on.
What I do mean is that if I do not keep it, and I have been burned out and felt like it, and I didn't like who I saw. Because Everything in me was burnt up. I wasn't burning with the Holy Ghost. I was burning with annoyances, aggravations, and it was all here. Everything started here. And then eventually it came out of me.
Right.
Because I wasn't seeing with the eyes of my heart, the spirit. I was seeing with the fleshly eyes, and I was getting these things instead of stopping and praying and seeking God and keeping the Spirit of God moving. I was being torn away. There was always something you could be, but should you?
Yeah.
Moses saw a bush that wasn't burning up, and he went to see what it was. And when God saw Moses' interest in the fire that wasn't burning up the bush, God began to show himself to Moses. God showed himself to Moses after he moved toward God. After he turned aside and looked, then God spoke. Then he said, take off this dirty shoes, then come forward to me so I may reveal myself to you. He is no respecter of persons, so I can guarantee he would do that for you and I as well. Amen? Without question,
yes,
he would. Some of us are guilty of an aim it and flame kind of walk with God. We call out to God and say, Lord, look at the bush I just lit. Now, keep it burning for me.
Come on.
Anybody guilty?
Come on.
I don't think you'll raise your hand. I wouldn't either. A lot of times we want to say, hey, Lord, this ministry is really going. This is what I think we should do. I'm going to light this fire. You have two sticks, some lighter fluid, go. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to burn out, you go at it without God.
Right. Yes, sir.
You hear me?
Good.
There's too many times that we think it's a great idea to do something. And ministry is wonderful. But if God didn't call you to do that, then why should he anoint that? There is anointings for each and every one of us to do what we're called to do. And there's a lot of great and wonderful things. But we also see so many things that fail because someone did it. Because maybe no one else would do it. Maybe it was left to them. Maybe they just felt like it was a good idea.
Mom.
It's always wonderful to minister.
Yeah.
But it starts here.
Right.
It starts here.
Yes, sir.
With the gift of the Spirit turning in you, the fire of the Holy Ghost moving, it will promote you and push you and draw you to the place that you must be to be able to give out.
Yes.
And not burn up.